This morning, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20 is where we're going to start. I hope that you'll grab your Bibles and join along with me in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. You know, as we explore God's Word, we've been going through the process of how is it that I can find God's will for my life? And as we find God's will in His Word, in His wisdom, through worship, we begin to realize that there's an important part that comes and falls upon us, that as He reveals that knowledge to us, as He reveals His will and purpose for our lives, it then requires for us to follow Him in obedience. Amen? Now we come to, in Matthew chapter 4, we see the calling of the disciples. Jesus is beginning His earthly ministry, and He starts here at the edge of the Sea of Galilee to call fishermen to follow Him. And we find that these men, three of these four men that He calls, is part of the inner circle that we refer to later in the Scriptures that are the closest to the Lord. We find in this calling, He gives a very simple command, is to come follow Me. And today I want us to kind of talk about exactly what is that calling? Who is that for? What is it for? What does it accomplish? And as we go through that today, I want you to be thinking as possibly, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you haven't come to a place that you've experienced His calling upon your life personally, that I hope that you will hear that calling today, that He's calling to each and every one of us. And so oftentimes the idea of religion or church, we look around us and think that, well, I would serve the Lord, but someone else can do it better. But if God has a personal calling upon your life, you are the one that He is calling. Amen? He's not waiting for someone else to answer. Sometimes we get deadlocked, even in relationships. We say, well, I would do something right, or I would do this right, but the other one's not going to do it, so what's the use? That's not the answer, amen? The answer is that you have a personal calling upon your life, and you obey what God has called you to do, and you follow Him. You walk like Him. You talk like Him. You act like Him. That's what it means to follow. We don't just follow Him behind in His footsteps, but we follow in action, in word, and in practice, and in spirit. Amen? So in Matthew chapter 4, the title of the message today is, I Will Make You Fishers of Men. And as we read our text, you'll see exactly why. So follow along in your Scriptures with me. Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed Him. In the text today, we see that right after this, we see that the Lord goes on and continues, and He calls James and his brother John, and we see that this is a beginning. Here's something that's interesting. This was not the first time that they had met Jesus. In fact, at the baptism of Jesus, John the Baptist had proclaimed, this is Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb that you need to follow. Follow Him. And so they did for a while. Well, about a year later, we find that Jesus comes back again, and now He has a personal calling upon their life to follow Him in ministry, now that Jesus started His ministry. And so we see this is the beginning of the calling of the 12 disciples. But I want us to see that there's application for us as well today. Some of you may be thinking, well, you know, He hasn't called me to preach. You know, He's not called me to be a pastor. So, you know, does this apply to me? In a sense, it does, because each of us have an individual calling. So what is our calling? He says, follow Me. This is a calling not to just be a Christian by name, but to be a disciple. Folks, we've been hitting that, the differences of that. A Christian, we can be a Christian in name and not really follow the Lord and do what He's called us to do. But a disciple gets up and follows. He's known because he follows his teacher. He follows his teaching. He sells all that he has. He abandons everything to follow his master. He follows his rule of life, and he makes it a rule for his life and conduct to follow his master. That's what a disciple does. He follows. So when we talk about follow, we're not just talking about a passivity. We're not just talking about claiming to know Jesus, but we know him personally. We know him in action. We know him in heart. We know him in our speech and all that we do. Amen? So our calling is that he says, come and follow me. There were many that he come and called them to follow him. He came looking for Zacchaeus and found him in a tree. We see that he came to the woman at the well. We see that he came to a young rich ruler, which unfortunately chose not to follow him. Also, we see God calling Abraham, Jacob, Samuel. We see callings all throughout Scripture. But we also know that God has called each one of us to come and trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And with that faith, with that trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus, comes following, comes action. We act upon that faith. It's not just a faith in word, but it becomes a faith in action. Now, our action does not bring salvation. The blood of the Lord Jesus has sealed our salvation once and for all. Amen? Praise the Lord for it, right? Praise the Lord for it. But yet we must act on that faith in obedience. I want to ask you, are you following? Where are you at in following the Lord today? Have you abandoned all things for him and for him alone? Have you abandoned the things of this world? Have you abandoned your fears and your doubts? And have you answered the call? We find many times that God calls individuals and sometimes will call men to the ministry, and they find themselves fighting and fearful because they don't think that they can fill that calling. We're going to get into that here in just a minute. I want to ask you, are you ready to spend your time and your life and your talents for the kingdom of God? Here's something that we find, that not all of us will be preaching, not all of us will be teaching, but many of you have abilities and skills that are able to be used of the Master. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, he says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household?" Now, some had come and made a false claim and said that Jesus was doing miracles by Satan's help. How ludicrous that was. They were trying to discredit the Lord Jesus. And he says, look, it doesn't work that way, because the whole house would fall. Everything, the ministry would fall, everything would fall. But yet, because Jesus was so successful and that he was able to do the miracles that he was doing, it was evidence that God the Father was empowering and has sent the Lord Jesus. So they actually just spoke against themselves in a sense. But we see that the proof was right there, as that God was guiding the Lord Jesus. So I'm asking you, is God guiding you as you follow the Lord Jesus today? Can others look and say, and even in their false criticism of you and your life, can they see that truly you are following the Lord Jesus? Can they see that? Or do they have to ask? Or do they have to question? You know, as Jesus was serving and in his ministry, there really was no question of who he was. There really was no question, because there were too many evidences. And when we follow the Lord Jesus, he transforms us, changes us to the point that there is evidence upon evidence. Amen? So what about our training? How is it that when he calls us and he says, come follow me, he didn't stop there, did he? What did he tell them? I will make you fishers of men. Now this is really interesting, that when we begin to look at this, is that God calls us to a ministry that, number one, he already has the answer to. He already has the plan for. He already has the message for us to take. And then he gives us the tools to make that happen. Amen? I will make you fishers of men. How often have you been asked to share your faith or to be a witness, and the first thing you say, I don't know how to do that. Right? Or sometimes we say that, well, I'm afraid they'll ask me a question that I don't know. Join the crowd. Join the crowd. And you know what will happen to you? You'll say, I don't know. But what I do know is that Jesus loves me. He died for me. He lived a perfect life. And by his death on the cross, he paid my sin debt that I couldn't pay. And so therefore, I trust him to pay my sin debt and to save me. And he did. Amen? So tell them what you do know. But then you'll go home and you'll say, I'm going to find the answer to that question. And you're going to get in the Word. You're going to grow. You're going to be blessed. And then the next time you think, next time they ask me that question, I'm ready. And just about the time you're ready to answer that question, they'll ask another one that you don't know. You go back home, I got to find the answer to this. We have all these excuses, don't we? When in reality, God is the one that's making us a witness, not us making ourselves a witness. Amen? But it first comes by following. Do you notice the progression of obedience? Okay, does he say, okay, I'll make you fishers of men, then you follow me? Nope, you follow. Amen? Are you seeing me, church? Are you with me? We got to follow. Sometimes that follow doesn't have a roadmap that has, you're going to start here, turn here, turn here. Don't you love GPSs for that? You can flip down. I'm learning in St. Louis that you got to look at the route because sometimes it wants to take you the dumbest route and is going to take the longest way around and you're going to get stuck in traffic. Well, I'm finally figuring that out. So I look at this turns here, this highway goes here, then you go here, then you go here. Oh, no, I don't want to go there. Let's do a different route, right? The Lord says, look, the end result is you're going to be like me. The end result is you're going to bring me glory, and I'm going to be with you all the way in between. Amen? You follow me. It's called faith, folks. It's called living in faith. You say you have faith in Jesus. Now live it. Amen? Allow him to make you what he wants you to be. What skill sets do you have? What abilities that God has given you? So often we say that, well, I don't know how to witness to others. Do you realize that God has prepared you for the mission field that you call life? The people you are around, your family, your friends, your coworkers, you know them. You know who they are. You know what they're dealing with. You know what they need help with. And so when we go to a mission field that he has prepared us for. He has given us opportunity that we know what they need and we know what their hurts are. So therefore, we can share Christ with them. Amen? Too often you think that only your pastor can share with them. Or I don't have enough information. I don't know the Bible as well as he does. You tell them what you know. And if you need help in verbalizing that, you need help in gaining confidence in that, you come see me. We have all kinds of training and fun things to do to learn how to share your faith. And when we do, it gives you the confidence how to handle God's word confidently and rightly and truthfully. And you share what you know. You know, a bunch of your friends don't want to hear from me. In fact, usually when I show up at the party, not a party anymore because everybody's like, oh great, the preacher's here, we can't have any fun. But when you show up, hey, how you doing? Arms are open wide, right? Don't diminish the work that God is wanting to do in and through you, amen? Don't lessen what he is wanting to do. He wants to make you and grow you so that you might be fishers of men. In John chapter 21, I want you to see this example. This is really neat. When we talk about the application of all this, you know, we can't do this on our own. This is the key. You don't go fishing without Jesus. I love to go fishing, but you know what I like more? I love catching. Are you with me? Man, fishing can be a job. There's so many variables. The weather has to be right. Water temperature has to be right. Your depth has to be right, you know, of your bait. You got to have the right bait for the right thing, for the right application. You have to have the right tools, the right equipment. So many variables, and you get this wrong and that wrong, you're just fishing. You're not catching. You've got to know. And you know what's even funner? Is when you go with someone who knows how to catch fish. My dad told a story one time that he went fishing with a friend, and the guy, he just, oh, you know, he was one of those guys that knew everything, and oh, he just knew all about fishing, and Dad's like, well, let's go fishing. And they went. And the whole trip there, Dad said that he was telling him how that he could catch fish and he never got out fished. And well, they got on the water and start fishing. My dad just starts catching fish and his buddy not doing so well. Oh, he bragged the whole time. And Dad said that before long, he finally started watching what my dad was doing. And my dad teased, he said, you know, I think if I'd have scratched my ear, he'd have done the same thing to try to catch a fish. You know, the same way that we try to win lost souls. If we go without Jesus, you're not catching. It's not going to work, right? There's too many variables. You got to go with someone who knows how to catch the souls of men. Amen? Now, when I say men, I mean all mankind. John chapter 21. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Now, this is right after the resurrection, okay? And so then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast the net. Now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of the large fish, 153. That's a good fishing day. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. You notice that? Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. I kind of dropped you in the middle as I still read quite a bit. Peter, after the understanding that Jesus arose from the grave is empty. The angel spoke to the women who were the first that went to the grave and says, go and tell the disciples, I'm going to Galilee and I will meet them there. So they went. And you know, like any good guy would do, you're sitting around, you got time to kill. Peter goes, hey, I'm going fishing. The other disciples, I'm going with you. So they went fishing. In the text, it tells us they fished all night long. You know what they caught? Nothing. And then this man shows up on the side of the seashore and said, do you have anything to eat? No, we haven't. Well, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Now, I'm going to tell you something. My grandpa used to pull that joke on me, and I still didn't catch any fish. Are you with me? My grandpa would catch fish on this side. Fish on that side. Still didn't catch any fish. Doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But when Jesus is there, it makes all the difference. Amen? They pulled in a catch that was without question phenomenal. It was so much that they were afraid the net were going to break, but yet the Lord made sure the net didn't break. Are you seeing a lot of parallels in this church? Are you seeing a lot of parallels? If we go and do ministry without Christ, we go and do ministry without His conviction, His leadership, His purpose, and His vision, then we're not doing ministry, amen? But yet when we do follow, sometimes we stop and think, if He does bless, what are we going to do with all of this? Follow the Lord and He'll provide, amen? We live by faith. Isn't that exciting? The possibilities of what God is wanting to do if we just follow. If we just simply follow. Sometimes we think that, well, can it be that simple? When we allow God to show up and do what only God can do, amen, it can be that simple. What is your response today? Verse 20, it says that they immediately left their nets and followed Him. Now, in our one story, don't get us confused, we're fishing two times here, right? They were fishing. This is a first time that Jesus had called them to ministry. He's calling them to follow Him, and they understood in their culture and their day that what this meant is that you're going to follow Me for the rest of your life. You're going to leave your livelihood. You're going to leave everything behind. You're going to follow Me and depend upon Me and rely upon Me. And what was their response? Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. What's going through your mind right now? Has the Lord been convicting you of a few things? That maybe there's some things that have you been following faithfully and you think that, well, you know, if I can get this lined out and if I can get this fixed and I can get this straight, can I encourage you today? Faith doesn't work upon the basis of what you have ready. You simply respond to what He is calling you to do. And He provides what you need. Now, we don't just strike out in faith in ignorance, okay? We plan our finances. We're faithful and good stewards of what He gives us. We handle what He has given us so that we have stability. But sometimes that stability hasn't come because we have not been following. We went fishing without the Lord. We went financial planning without the Lord. We went and bought a house, we bought a car, we bought a bass boat without God's guidance and leadance. Are you with me? We do many things without Him and we think, boy, this isn't working because we're not following. Where are you today? While God's love is forever given, yet the time is somewhat limited. Remember in Genesis 6, verse 3, as we've been studying in Sunday school, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Why is it that there's only a short time? He's calling us to follow today so that we'll be faithful in the days to come. The time of judgment will come, and we must prepare. Amen? In order for us to prepare as his church and his people, we must follow him. No one can reach your friends and family and coworkers as well as you can. God has prepared you your whole life to this point for the mission field that you call life. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Did you know after those verses even followed up, it said if we are not willing to take up that cross, if we're not willing to suffer for him, then we are not worthy of him. God drew a line in the sand, didn't he? He set a distinction that if you follow me, it will cost you everything. Are you willing to make that commitment today? And so sometimes we think that, wow, it's going to cost me everything. Then that means I'm going to lose everything. But actually just the opposite. We gain everything. Amen? Matthew 11, 28, verse 29 and 30, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, they're using agricultural terms of a yoke. You know, two animals would be yoked together and they would pull a plow or a farm implement, and the strength that they would have working together would be very great. But you know what would happen if you yoked a large animal with a small animal? The larger one would tear the other one up and harm him. Not so with God. He asks us to follow him, but he enters into the yoke with us. It's going to cost you everything, but the Lord says, I'm going to be here with you through it all. It's going to be a steep price. It's going to take a lot. In fact, following me will require some excruciating decisions to be made. But yet, I'm going to make them with you. Church, doesn't that give you hope and excitement for what lays ahead of us? What is it that you're following today? There's so many things in life that we could follow. We could follow our own selfish desires. We can follow friends or family. We can follow the popular culture of the day. We can follow the political trends of today. We could follow science, or we could follow God. The choice must be made, but you will follow something. You do understand that, right? You will follow something, and the destination is determined already by what you're following. Jesus is the only one that gives us a hope and an answer for the future. So what are you following today? The goal of every believer is to be like Christ. And the only way that we can be made like him is to follow him and obey him. But we can't do it on our own without the Spirit's guidance and without the Spirit's help.